Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to continue on in our study that we started months ago. We're going to continue talking about the armor of God. And Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, reads, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is part 12. We've been talking about at length this passage of Scripture here. And we've seen during this time that the Apostle Paul was telling the Ephesians, not only the Ephesians, but us as his believers, is that we were to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And we've looked at all these things, and basically what the Apostle Paul was telling us is that to live your life as in strength, to live your life in the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that comes to reside on the inside of you when you make Jesus the Lord of your life. You have that inherent power, that dunamis of God that it talks about in the New Testament, that it's there for you to draw on, to tap into, because you can't defeat the enemy on your own and in your own strength. You can only defeat the enemy and stand against the enemy in the power of the Holy Spirit through the things that God has blessed you with, the things that God has done for you. And we've seen that you the first thing you need to get settled is, and have everything settled, your loins girded with the truth, is that you believe that the Word of God is the truth, and that everything is based upon God's Word, and the breastplate of righteousness, that you are the righteousness of God through faith. You can't do anything to earn righteousness. The Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 5 and in 1 Corinthians that you are the righteousness of God based on your faith in Jesus Christ. You can't do anything to get that on your own. Amen? So you have to clothe yourselves in these things. And he's painting a picture for us that you have to live that way. As we said, not just put on the armor every morning. Some of this armor you need to leave on all the time. Amen? And we talked about your feet being shod with the preparation of peace. That to dig in and to be firm and to be steady. That those shoes that the Roman soldiers used had spikes in the bottom of them, like our cleats that we use to play sports with. So you get better traction. So they couldn't get knocked over. So they couldn't be pushed back. So we need to arm ourselves with the things that God has given us. God has given us peace. Yes. Amen? Yes. Amen? When things happen, we shouldn't get knocked back on our heels and be stumbling backwards. Amen? Anybody ever had a bad report from the doctor? I know some of you in here have. Bad report from anything. A bad report in your checkbook. Amen? But bad reports from your employer, whatever it may be, those things, you should have the peace of God that my God has this, he's got my back, amen?
Yes.
that He is Jehovah Jireh, that He is Jehovah Rapha, that He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, that He is Jehovah Shalom. He's my peace. He's my healer. He's there. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He knew this was going to happen before it ever happened. And He's already working to make sure that I make it through. Amen? That's that peace of God. You know, that calm, the Word of God talks about in the Greek there that it's a calm delight. It's just a calmness that you don't get rattled. Amen? So He tells us, put on all these things. And you can go back to, and go to our website and click on the Podbean there and listen to these on Podbean and get a refresher if you need to. But He says, after all those things, He said, in addition to all this, in addition to having your loins girded with the truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, basically recognizing who you are in Christ, amen, that you are the righteousness of God, that you are a friend of God, that you are in a relationship with God, and then having the peace of God as your stability, He says, after you do all that, He says, take up the shield of faith. Amen? He tells us three things here in the next few verses. He says, the shield, your helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. The first three pieces we've all seen were things that took time to put on. A Roman soldier just didn't slap on the belt of truth, that belt that they had on, that everything fastened to. They just didn't slip into the breastplate of righteousness, that shield that covered their inner body. Amen. Had to strap their shoes on. They always had them on. Amen? The last three things are things that you can pick up pretty quick. They didn't always walk around with their shield. Amen? They didn't always walk around with their helmet on. They didn't always walk around with their sword, but they kept them close by. They knew that they could get to them quickly. So they could put it on in a moment's notice. Now, when Paul says, take up the shield of faith, when you look at a Roman soldier, and that's what he's using it as his guide, because when he was a prisoner in Rome, he was being guarded by Roman soldiers, were there with him all the time. Amen? So when he drew this picture, mental picture for us, he was using a Roman soldier as his guide. Roman soldiers had two types of shields. One was a small round shield that was about 2 feet in diameter, and they used that in hand-to-hand combat. It was light enough to be carried around rather easily. The other one that Paul's referring to here, because of the word that he uses, in the Greek is the word thureos, and it means a large door-shaped object. It's oblong, it has four corners on it, and the Thayer's dictionary says it's shaped like a door. It was basically 2.5 feet wide by 4.5 feet tall. So that was a big shield. Amen? And it was made so that Roman soldiers could hide behind it. They could crouch down. It was also made so that it could interlock with the guy right beside you. So the Roman soldiers, the Roman army, as we've talked about, was the elite fighting force in the world at that time. That the Roman soldiers could lock their shields together, and if they were being bombarded by flaming arrows, which was the only long-range weapon, they didn't have cruise missiles back then, you know. They didn't have artillery. Flaming missiles, flaming arrows was their artillery. So they could put them shields together and lock them together, And then they would also put them over top. A few of them would put them over top and lock them together. So when the enemy was launching all these flaming missiles at them, they could just put up a shield and just keep marching toward the enemy.
Wow.
Amen? See, you can't be a lone ranger as a Christian. You need to have people around you that you can lock shields with. Amen?
Amen.
When the enemy starts to attack you, the enemy comes against you or comes against them, you need to have people that can pray for you. You need to have people agreeing with you. Say, hey, I need you to pray for me. I need your support. I need that. Amen? Or the Lord wakes you up in the middle of the night and he says, you need to pray for so-and-so. You need to pray for them. Amen? Because in the spirit realm, you're locking shields with them. You're all them flaming, the flaming arrows, the fire. I think the King James says the fiery darts. Amen? Right? Anybody ever played darts? Does a flaming dart instill fear in you? Not really. I mean, a dart's only about like that. A flaming arrow is like that. But in the Greek, it's a missile, basically. It's a large piece. Amen? It's not just coming in to hit you in the arm and leave you. Oh, it's coming in to blow you up. To leave a crater where you're standing at. That's what missiles do. Missiles take out buildings. Amen? He wants to take out your whole household. The enemy wants to take you out completely. Amen?
Yes.
So we need to realize that it says take up the shield of faith where you can extinguish, is the Greek word here, all the fiery darts of the wicked. Because what the Romans did, because they were so experienced in warfare that they would not only cover their shields were made, they would cover them with leather, their older shields, and then they would soak them in water. So when the fiery missiles, the fiery arrows were coming at them, it not only would deflect off of them, it would put them out. Because what they would do, when you read about it, they would wrap the arrow tip in cloth and then they would dip it in tar. And then they would set it on fire and then they would shoot it. Well, when that arrow hit, all the tar, all the pitch that's on fire on there would splatter everywhere. If you got a wood shield and it sets on fire, it's going to get on fire. Amen? It's going to burn up. Your shield's going to rapidly diminish in size and effectiveness. But the Romans learned, hey, we just coat that thing in leather and then coat it and then soak it in water. You ever soak anything? You ever had anything that's leather get wet? It stays wet for a long time. Amen? It's not like a cloth where you're out in the sun and it dries rapidly. Leather will stay wet for quite a while. So they would coat it in water before they went into battle. And that's the thing that Paul wants you to see here, is you're not just deflecting them arrows, you're extinguishing them arrows.
Hallelujah.
Through your faith. Amen. Because the enemy's going to shoot them things at you, and he's got a lie that's fired at you, and it hits you, and then it spreads to everybody around you. Amen. Splatters all over everybody. He wants to affect everything around you. Because what would happen to people that fought armies that used arrows and flaming arrows? They weren't used to that. The only thing, it would just send them into panic and disarray, and then they would turn their backs and start to run. The Romans did not turn and run. We are not to turn and run Amen. When the enemy attacks us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Why? Because you've got the greater one yes. on the inside of you. The Word of God says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world.
That's right.
Yep. Good. Amen. You've got the Spirit of God on the inside of you to strengthen you, to stand, as he's told us here. Then you need to have that shield of faith ready, so when the enemy starts lobbing missiles at you, that you quench them. Amen? When he lobs those flaming arrows, his missiles at us, we can not only deflect them, but we can extinguish them. When he shoots those arrows of temptation, arrows of doubt, pain, discouragement, depression, fear, hopelessness, guilt, shame, stubbornness, lust, envy, bitterness. I could go on and on. We need to use the shield of faith to put them out.
Yes.
Paul's telling us here that our faith, our trust in God, can protect us from those fiery arrows as long as we are hidden behind it. See, when you make God the Lord of your life, he becomes your shield. Amen. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Everybody doing okay this morning?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. That was just my introduction. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Genuine faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's the same word used here that's used in Ephesians. The shield of faith is the word pistis. It means a persuasion. To give credence to. It's reliance upon Christ for salvation. It's a constancy in such profession. It's the system of truth itself. So, it also, one other Bible or a translation talks about being the conviction of the truth of anything. In the New Testament, of a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, generally with the included idea of trust and holy fervor born of faith and joined with it. Pistis is always used in the New Testament relating to faith in God or Jesus Christ. Amen? So, genuine faith. What is faith? What is my shield of faith? I don't even know what faith is. It's not some mystical thing. Amen? It's not something that's so far out there nobody knows what it is. The shield of faith and genuine faith, true biblical faith, first and foremost, solely rests on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Amen? Do you believe Jesus is who he said he is? Amen? Do you believe that he is the Son of the living God? Do you believe that he took flesh upon him, that he lived a sinless life, that he went to the cross and he died for you, and that that God raised him from the dead on the third day. And through his death, burial, and resurrection, that Jesus made a way for you to become a child of God. See, faith, your faith has nothing to do with you and your ability. It has everything to do with what Jesus has done for you. And whether you believe that or not. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21 says, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Amen? So, solely rest on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus and what has he done? Well, he became sin on our behalf. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, 12 says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Glory to God. We are redeemed. We are forgiven because of what Jesus has done for us. And when you talk about faith, your shield of faith, then you just stick it up and say, "Wait a minute, I'm a child of God. I'm the righteousness of God." Amen? Not because of what I've done, not because of how good I am. It's because of what Jesus has done for me. Amen? That Jesus shed his blood for me. And because he shed his blood for me, I'm forgiven. And Jesus redeemed me so that I'm free. Amen? We can enter into our inheritance in Jesus Christ because God has made us able.
Yes.
Amen? We can stand against the things of the devil, the schemes of the devil, because God has made us able. Not because of how smart we are or anything else. It's because we've just accepted what God has done for us. Amen? God's word says it. I believe it. That settles it. Amen? That's what genuine faith is. It's not some great thing that you attain. Yeah, you can grow in faith. You better be growing in your faith. You need to learn more and more about God and God's plan for you. But it says there that he has or hath delivered us. Not that he's going to someday. Right? He hath delivered us from the power. We've talked about this already. That word power there is the word exousia. It means authority. He's delivered us from the authority of darkness. Hallelujah. He's delivered us. It is a reality now that you are a part of the kingdom of God. You don't become a part of the kingdom of God when you go to heaven. The kingdom of God is here now. Amen? The kingdom of God will be here on the earth in all of its power and all of its strength until Jesus comes and calls us home. Amen? So we need to remember that. You're not just waiting to collect your inheritance when you get to heaven. Part of your inheritance is here on earth right now. Amen? Hallelujah. So, genuine faith rests solely upon the work and the person of Jesus Christ. It also consists in simply taking God at his word. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Do we believe what the Word says? Do we believe what God says? Amen? Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says, as it is written, a father of many nations have I made you in the sight of him whom you believe, or whom he believed, even God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Glory to God. In hope against hope, he believed in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You just need to become convinced that God made Abraham promises. He's made you promises too, right here. And you just need to become convinced that they're true.
Yes.
Amen? Bible-based faith is grounded in the veracity of the written word. Amen? You have to believe that the word of God is accurate. You have to believe that it's reliable. You have to believe that it's genuine, that it's authentic. You have to believe that it's valid. When you say the veracity, that's what all that is encompassed there. You have to come to believe that. Amen? That's what faith is. If you do not believe that the Bible is the absolute truth and can be trusted to lead you and guide you in every area of your life, you're going to struggle to live by faith. We see throughout Scripture, the results of people taking God at His word. Amen? And Abraham and Sarah are prime examples. They didn't believe what they heard at first. Amen? They laughed. When they said, you're going to have a child a year from now, they both laughed. And when the Lord called Sarah out on it, she said, oh, no, I didn't laugh. He goes, oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. That word laugh there really in the Hebrew talks about falling down. It wasn't just a little chuckle. They thought it was so hilarious that it fell down on their face basically and laughed. That's not just a little chuckle. Amen. That's something you think, that is crazy. But then it says that he was fully assured. Somewhere along the line, Abraham decided to believe the word of God. Amen?
Yes.
We've all have to make that decision. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. God's word is your shield.
Yes.
Amen? Put your trust in Him, your faith in Him. Hallelujah. You need to believe and accept that the word of God is actually what it declares itself to be. It's a revelation from God to us. It's God speaking to us now. It's not a history book. A lot of people would have you believe. I was told one time, you can't base your life on that. It's just a book of history. I was told that by somebody that was in the ministry, an ordained minister. I said, thank you very much. Please leave my house. Amen. Just, you got to believe it. Hallelujah. The first step in using your faith to quench those flaming missiles is to accept and understand the integrity of God's Word. The Word is of foremost importance. Some people want God to speak to them, to reveal Himself to them in some way, but the primary way He will speak to you is through the Word of God. Amen? When you read through here, the Word of God will speak to you. God will speak to you. God will change you. We are a Word church. You're going to get the Word here. Amen? You're going to get the Word shoved down your throat. We're just going to keep giving it to you. You're going to eat so much of it, you may regurgitate some of it. But we're just going to keep giving it to you. Why? Because the Word of God is what has the power to change your life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Not philosophy, not religion, not theology. It's the Word of God. Amen. Amen. We want you to know the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen? Because at 2 o'clock in the morning, when you get a bad report or you're not feeling well or something's happening and the enemy's attacking you, you need to know what the Word says.
Yes.
Amen? When the enemy tries to give you a panic attack, you need to know what the Word says. Amen? When the enemy tries to scare you and bring fear into your life, you need to know what the Word says. That my God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. Get out of here. Amen?
Yes.
No experience that you have, no special word that you have, no revelation that you have supersedes the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word always comes first. You always judge what is being taught and shared in light of God's Word. There are those who try to read certain things into the Word because they want it to say what they believe. They're trying to fit the Word to their beliefs rather than fitting their beliefs to the Word. Some people try to overlook certain passages of Scripture or explain them away. You must believe what the Word says, not what you think it says.
Amen. Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
As you begin to study the Word in this way, accepting it as you will, you'll be amazed to learn that some of the things you have always believed are not in the Word of God at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of sayings out there that people attribute to the Word, and it's not scriptural at all.
Yes.
Amen? You will wonder why you believe some of the things you did. You know, my beautiful wife discovered this many years ago. She was raised in the church. I was not raised in the church. She was raised in church her whole life. She was taught certain things as the truth. As she got older, and then when I got saved in my mid-20s, she rededicated her life to the Lord, and we started reading the Word and started attending a church that preached the Word. She began to see that a lot of the things that she might have been, not a lot, there was a few things that she was taught that weren't the Bible at all. They were just traditions of men. Sounded good, sounded religious, but it wasn't what the Bible said. And just like everybody, she had to make a decision of what she was going to believe. Either was she going to believe what the Word says, or was she going to hang on to what she was taught in the past? She chose to believe what the Word said.
Amen.
Amen? You need to cling to the veracity of God's Word. Genuine faith is also marked by people who direct their life living according to their faith. Amen. You ever met anybody who professed that they were Christian and it took you by surprise? Oh, really? I would have never thought that by the way that you talk and the way that you act. And right? I'm going to say this. Just because you go to church does not mean that you are a Bible-believing Christian. When I was in my early 20s, we came to church every Sunday. Right? We did. We brought our kids. We were the cute little family. Amen. The boys always dressed up in their cute little shirts and stuff. That family, oh yeah. I was still a heathen. Amen? You say, well, you don't know me. My wife didn't say amen, but she knows I was a heathen. You think you're fooling people, but you go to church, nothing's changed. There's no difference about you. Amen. I'd go drinking every night of the week after work. We'd go out drinking. Playing softball. Go to the Moose Lodge after we got done playing softball to drink. Come to church on Sunday. There was no Bible-based faith there. It was hypocrisy. But when God touched me that night, in 1984, on February the 8th, at about 8:30, quarter to 9, I was sitting in that pew right behind, basically right there where Vincent's sitting. I was sitting right behind him right there. There's probably fingerprints where I was grabbing hold of that pew right there that night to keep from coming down. But you know what? When I did that, I changed. Became a new creature in Christ. Amen. Have not had one drink of alcohol since that night.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I wasn't just one of them guys that just drank the... I liked it. But God took away that desire. So I have been free from that. Amen. There were other things in my life that God had to clean up and work on. My mouth. Brother Mike and I have talked about that. Amen. But you start living your life differently when you start basing it on faith and basing it on the Bible. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Galatians 2, verse 20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Yes.
And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Yes. Amen. See, you're not your own anymore. You've been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't get to do whatever you want to do anymore. You need to tell your flesh to shut up. Amen? Oh, I want to do that. I want to do that. Shut up, flesh. Sometimes you got to get violent with your flesh. Amen? Scream at it. Tell it to shut up. Because your flesh likes to just flesh out. Right? Maybe I'm the only one. No, praise the Lord. I didn't think so. M.R. Vincent said this concerning biblical faith. "Faith apprehends as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. It rests on that fact, acts upon it, and is upheld by it in the face of all that seems to contradict it." Faith is real seeing. Everything around you may be looking bad. It may not be looking good. You may have things, your life's not going well. But real faith in Jesus Christ, real faith in God, is that, you know what? My God's got it.
Yes.
I'm gonna weather this storm. We're going to make it through. Amen. We're going to come out on the other side. You know, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You don't linger there. You walk through it.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. That's what faith's all about. You live your life accordingly. You don't curl up in the fetal position and start sucking your thumb and say, it's over. I'm not going to make it. You start retreating. Amen. No, you just take up that shield of faith and you put it in the ground and you say, I'm just going to stand here behind it and I'm going to make it through.
Amen.
Amen. No matter what it looks like, no matter what my body feels like, no matter what my checkbook looks like, amen. No matter what looks like, I'm going to make it through. Why? Because God is on my side. I've got a covenant relationship with God Almighty.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. If God is our very own Father and we are His very own children, we have as much freedom and fellowship with the Father as Jesus had in His earthly walk. Because the Father loves us even as He loved Jesus. John 17:23 says, that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and has loved them as Thou hast loved Me. If you don't get anything else I've said today, get that. That'll blow your little pea-picking mind if you think about that. Jesus said, that's Jesus speaking. It's in red in my Bible, so I know it's Jesus speaking. Amen? It says that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. That's how much God loves you. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to encourage you this morning, just as Paul did to Timothy that day, to stir up the gift of God that's in you. If you want more of the peace of God, the blessings of God, a move of the Spirit of God through you and in the church, then we all have to stir up the gifts that are on the inside of us. We can't shrink back. We can't be timid. We can't get into fear. Amen? We can't be moved by what we see, what we feel. Can't be moved by our anxieties or our fears. Genuine faith and fear cannot coexist in the same body. Take up the shield of faith and quench every thought, every weapon, every tactic, every scheme that the enemy throws your way. Quench it. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3 says, for though, I'm reading from the New American Standard, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The King James Version says, casting down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Those strongholds that are in your mind, those strongholds that have formed because of maybe the way that you were raised, your circumstances, your past, that would tell you that you don't deserve anything from God, that you couldn't possibly have anything from God. You need to cast that down. You need to rip that stronghold out of there and get rid of it. And renew your mind, as it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Renew your mind to the Word of God. Because that's not what the Word of God says about you. That's not what God says about you. Well, I'm unlovable. How could God love me? He loves you. That's what Jesus said. Mm-hmm. That's what the Word says.
Yep.
Amen. For God so loved the world.
Yes.
See, we need to change our stinking thinking. Mm-hmm. Tear down those strongholds and bring our thoughts and what we think about ourselves in line with what the Word of God says about you. Who you are in Christ. Who you are in relationship to God. You need to get all of that down in there. The Lord, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Lord has equipped you to face whatever the enemy throws at you. Amen? Because of who's on the inside of you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Doesn't matter what He's going to throw at you today. He's going to throw stuff at you. Could be today, could be tomorrow, could be next week, could be next month, could be next year. Just get ready. When they come, say, oh, yeah, whatever. Put that shield of faith up. Amen. Psalm 33:20 says, we put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad we're not defenseless?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Aren't you glad that we have hope?
Yes.
We talked about when Abraham, who in hope believed against hope. Amen. He found hope no matter what circumstances looked like. He found hope in God. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we thank you for what Jesus has done for us. And we thank you, Lord, that you've empowered us to stand up against everything that the enemy would throw our way. We just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory for what you've done in our lives and what you're going to do, Father. And Lord, I pray that every family represented here today, Lord, that every need that they have is met in the mighty name of Jesus. If their household needs peace, we just pray for peace. If relationships need to be restored, we pray for those relationships to be restored. For health, Lord, we pray for the healing power of God just to fill that household. Father, if there's lack, we just thank you and praise you that you are the one who provides for us and that you will meet every need, Father. Lord, I just thank you and praise you for that. And just pray that the Holy Spirit would just continue to speak to us and minister to each of us as we leave this place today and throughout this week, Lord. That we would be able to grasp the truth that Jesus spoke, that you love us just as you loved him, Lord. Thank you for it. Praise you for it. Lord, I pray that you just loose your angels round about us to watch over us as we leave this place today. Just send them right now to go before us, Lord, to surround us in protection throughout this week. In our travels, on our jobs, wherever we may be, Lord, we thank you and praise you for just watching over us. And Lord, we thank you for just a great day and a great week in you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. You are dismissed.